Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined by Craig Burley. Another brilliant day of action in the Champions League. We'll kick things off in Paris. PSG taking on Barcelona. Plenty of goals for us to enjoy. It'd be an early one from Barca that would see Rafinha take the lead. Dembele, though, a great effort early on in the second half, would make it 1-1, quickly followed by Vitinha, making it 2-2. Rafinha, though, would score a beauty. Lovely assist from Pedri to get the equaliser for Barca. And then Christensen scores the winner. 3-2 will be the advantage for Barcelona going into that second leg at the Montjuic. For more on this, so look at this cast of characters who join us. Luis Garcia, Jan Agafyortov. But we've got to start with the man who's at the game, who's at the press centre in Paris. Jules, when you came back to 2-1, I thought for once, Jules is going to be on the show and we'd have something positive to say about PSG.
Yeah, but no, not tonight again. I think I'm a bit of jinx because the first half was not good enough. We can talk about Luis Enrique's initial plan with Asensio as a force number nine, with Marquinhos at right back, for example, and clearly that was the wrong tactics. And Xavi outsmarted him in that first half. The way they played long on Lewandowski, who's brilliant at holding up the ball and then having players feeding off him, really like Rafinha, as we saw. The second half was better for 15 minutes, but then again, what Xavi did with Pedri, with Christensen, even switching Rafinha from the left wing to the right wing, were great. So not a good night for PSG, not a good night for Luis Enrique.
No, once again, not a good night for PSG in the Champions League. But once again...
Yeah, but not a disaster.
But no, I was going to say, once again, it was a great game for us as a neutral.
Yeah, I mean, you look at how both these teams played and you just think this second leg's going to be great. Every one of these quarterfinals, if the second leg is anything like the first leg, it's going to be fantastic entertainment. A bit like last night, I don't think it's great entertainment for the coaches because they're seeing so many mistakes and bad decisions. And you know, there have been some moments of brilliance. We saw Foden last night. We saw Valverde. We've seen Rafinha there. You know, so many youngsters in show for PSG as well. I suppose for Barca, but a lot of their youngsters have been injured this season. Pedri, who come on. Gavi's been out, but Lamine Yamal and Kubasi. I mean, honestly, it's just incredible. I mean, he's up against, you know, Mbappe and Dembele and players like that. He's 16, playing in the quarterfinal of the Champions League alongside Ronald Araujo, and he's putting in performances like that. It's in Barca's hands.
Yeah.
It's quite simple. And PSG need to be better than they were tonight, particularly defensively, and doing the basics. You know, the run from Rafinha there, the marking from set pieces, there's lots of little things. And, you know, he took Asensio off at half-time, he brings Barcola on, who played a little bit more on the right-hand side, and it worked for them very, very early. But then, as Joe said, once Xavi realised it was getting away from him a little bit, then he looked to the bench. You know, Pedri, Christensen, who's played in the middle of the park, and they looked a little bit, a lot more solid in there. So really, really good game. And Mbappe, relatively quiet. You know, it's going to be a big game at the Montjuic for him.
Mm-hmm.
All these youngsters will be looking at him and say, listen, we're up against it here. We need a big performance from you. He wasn't bad tonight, but if we're talking about PSG, he was not their main man tonight.
Kubasi's turned 17 now.
He's 17?
He's an old man. Yeah, an old man these days. Speaking of old men. Luis, looking at this, who would have thought after that debacle against Villarreal would be sitting in a situation where Barcelona would be favourites to go through to the semi-finals of the Champions League, and in some quarters, people want Xavi to stay?
We've been hearing about Xavi to stay for quite a long time. He's been just sending the same message. No. The decision is made, and I want to be focused on doing a good in Champions League in La Liga until the end of the season. And today, finally, we saw a very mature Barcelona that hand-tied three of the most important players, or at least two of them, for Paris Saint-Germain, Dembele and Mbappé. They were very quiet, not because they didn't do a good well. I totally agree with Craig, because Barcelona defender did such a great job doubling up on the wide area. Secundé in one side with Araujo, and the other side, Cubarsí and Cancelo. They were all ready to make marks, to cover in one to each other, to double up in the wide areas, to try to tie them up and not let them to turn around or face you. That is when they are very, very dangerous in the end. The last one, it was Vitinha, who did once again an amazing job, one of the best midfielders in Europe at the moment, because his ability to control and dominate the whole game, the tempo of the match, and in the end, I think he did a fantastic job. But it's true that I was expecting a little bit more from Paris Saint-Germain, more aggressiveness going forward, and for Barcelona, did very, very well. A sober in the last, never lost the composure, using the wide areas and that long ball that I think that today was clear, because Paris Saint-Germain was going to put a lot of pressure on Barcelona. And the key man today for me was Lewandowski, that we've been talking a lot about him not keeping the ball when this Barcelona needed, not holding it or laying off in the right position. And today I think he was brilliant. Every single time he was on the ball, allowing the wide players to run into the space and him arriving second line. So we have to give credit also to Lewandowski that finally we saw a good performance from him, even though that he didn't score.
Jan, from one striker to another, do you agree with those compliments?
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm just thinking, we saw a great game. We've said of all of us. But, I mean, 5 goals and Lewandowski didn't score and Mbappé didn't score. I mean, that would be a surprise before the game. But I agree, Lewandowski, in terms of the way he held up the ball, that is Lewandowski that he had, especially when he played with Bayern. He scored a lot of goals, but he was very good at keeping the ball up. And that was asked of him today. But we are fortunate that we have a profession that we can use our football knowledge, but we are still first and foremost football lovers. And I must say, Pedri to Rafinha and that technique that he used to make that goal, that made my evening today. And it's also, I just want to add, when Jules talked a bit about Xavi against Enrique, it's like it's been all this quarterfinal. It's coaches against coaches. We had Ancelotti against Pep yesterday, or Arteta against Tuchel. And today, I must say that Xavi won that game. I'm not saying he wanted more than 3-2, but there was advantage, Mr. Xavi. And don't we all think he will stay, Luis? I can't believe that you...
we're not going to do that debate now. We're not doing that debate. Give us another thumbs up, though, Jan. I like that.
Where did that come from?
There you go. Ready?
Yeah,
come
on. Came up.
Hey!
I'm glad it's just a thumbs up. Don't do it. Don't make any more signs. But I tell you, if you're PSG, you think, right, how do I get my best player, Kylian Mbappe, how do I unleash him in the second leg? And I have to look to pinpoint, if I'm Luis Enrique, the weakest area of the Barcelona team. And although Jules Koundé has not had his best season by a long stretch, that right-hand side of the Barcelona defence is certainly stronger than the left. I mean, Kubasi, it was mentioned, the youngster, has done terrific. But if you add him in with João Cancelo at left back, if he plays there in the second leg, that is the weakest point of their team. And I want somehow to get my strongest players up against their weakest element. And that's where I think they could potentially expose Barcelona. Because, you know, Barcelona won't look to sit in, I wouldn't imagine. I mean, they might play a little deeper, but I wouldn't imagine they'd look to sit in and take what they've got. They want to try and kill this tie off. And that's an area for me that Luis Enrique could exploit and can exploit better than they did tonight. Because we've seen how weak, at times, that side of the defence... Yep. has been this season.
How would you assess Mbappe's performance today, Jules?
Very disappointing, Dan. And there was a lot of people here who felt again that, you know, he relied a lot on him, that for PSG to go through, they needed him to be at his best. He had 3 shots tonight, 0 on target, only 1 successful dribble out of 5, won 3 duels out of 12, and lost the ball, I think, 13 or 14 times. He was just not good. And I think, like the boys said, Barcelona defended really well on him. But I also thought that he made the wrong decision too many times, either the extra touch or the wrong pass, shooting where maybe he shouldn't have. And he felt a bit isolated as well and not really connected to the rest of the team. I don't think the tactics in the first half helped him. And in the second half, Barcola was better. Dembele was better as well. And there was just not much for him really in the game. So disappointing, because so far he's carried this team in the Champions League. And now they can only do this with him in the second leg. If he has another night like tonight, they won't be able to turn the tie around. So they need him much better, in better position. That's one of the answers that Luis Enrique would have to find between now and Tuesday night.
I won't do it. We'll do it later, Jan. Luis, it's such a shame, isn't it, that we've seen Pedri struggle so much with injuries. Because when you see the assist he provided tonight, There aren't many players, are there, at his age in world football that can produce that moment of quality?
Yeah, exactly. And if you remember the way that Pedri got injured, it was exactly that pass. Without much a range of pace, trying to bring that ball, bringing the enough touch, enough power to arrive, to lie down exactly where the run of Rafinha is doing. Just the movement, the vision, and the touch is just magnificent. It's superb finish, of course, but that pass is just got into the game. So you need to adapt those first minutes, find your position, get in touch with the ball, the awareness of who is around you. But Pedri is at a different level. First touch is fantastic. He has the control, way to see what is happening in front of him. And then the run of Rafinha is on the perfect moment, to the perfect place. And of course, when you got the talent of the players as Gundogan or Pedri that can find that exactly moment, or Frankie De Jong, you just have to make the run and the ball will arrive to your feet. And well, today, once again, Pedri provides another superb assist.
It's been interesting, Luis, if you look at Rafinha, obviously, at one stage, he was on the bench. He had Lamine Yamal ahead of him, Gavi, of course, as well. Yet he hasn't let his head drop. He's come on. He's scored some big goals over the last couple of months.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that he earned to be into the game because of his work rate, because he was tracking back, helping the team in defense, of course, being a threat every single time. But the decision taken, it wasn't the right one. He was making so many mistakes when he was arriving to the last third. Missing goals, missing chances, and of course, not providing the last pass in good conditions. But we've seen a totally different Rafinha in the last few months, seeing him a lot more composed when he was in the last third, more calm, thinking about what he has to do, what he was the best option, and to then scoring that fantastic two goals. The first one with the right foot, that is not his best foot, but he had that composure that I'm talking. Arriving that, not getting nervous, not getting anxiety and rushing things up, put the right foot, put the good place your foot to get that perfect contact and scoring that goal. And in the second one, I think it's just fantastic. It's not an easy one. I'm sure that everyone will look at it. And yeah, the run is there. The pass is fantastic. But you have to put your body in the perfect position to allow the ball to arrive in your run, controlling what is behind you, what is the keeper. So many things to think about. And he had the composure to finish it in a good way. So we have to give him a lot of credit because right now he's one of the most important players of Barcelona.
Well, he wanted to play on the right-hand side, which he did, as Joe said, towards the end of the game when Lamine Yamal goes off. But he likes to play on the right and cut in his left. But he's had to accept, although he's had suspensions and injuries this year, he's had to accept that a 16-year-old, I don't think he's 17 yet.
No, you know, Lamine Yamal, you're right.
A 16-year-old has at times kept him out the side. And so what do you do if you're a player? I mean, that's difficult for an experienced player to take. I mean, it really is. You expect to just come straight back in. Or the youngster, he'll bench the youngster and I'll be straight back in. And that's not always been the case. And so I think he's had to go away and have a think about it. Look, if he wants me to play on the left-hand side, or if he wants me, I'm going to have to show that I'm good enough to do that, and I'm going to get my head down and I'm going to work, because this young fella's come in and he's been a breath of fresh air. And so he's had to basically accept that his place in the side on the right-hand side is not a given. Mm. And we saw a really good performance, obviously, from him on the left, and then Xavi moved him back on to the right side where he scored his goal. But that's the crux of the matter here, is that he's actually having to fight for his place with a kid in the side. And for any experienced professional, it's difficult enough when you're fighting with somebody who's the same age and the same experience, but when you're doing it with somebody who's so raw but yet so talented. And he was asked about it in an interview, and he said, no, I'm really happy for the youngster, which I find difficult.
Yes.
Because he's keeping you out the side. But I think he's shown that he hasn't got his head down and sulked.
Yeah.
He's been prepared to work hard, and he got his just rewards for that tonight.
So two goals for Rafinha, the third, of course, coming from Christensen. What frustrated you the most from a PSG perspective from this goal, Jules?
I think the most frustrating was that in the first half, they almost considered the same goal, the Lewandowski header that we show on the highlights. And yet, you don't adjust, you don't adapt, and you make the same mistake in the second half. I don't know why Donnarumma is not coming out. The ball is halfway through his six-yard box. It's not even on the six-yard box line. I think he should have come out and get it. It's a really good corner from Gundogan, of course. Warren Zaïre-Emery is only 18, just turned 18 a couple of weeks ago, and that's clearly a mistake from him, not following Christensen, not winning that header. But for me, it's the fact that twice in the first half, similar corner by Gundogan like that, and Donnarumma doesn't do anything or makes a mistake, and then on the third time, this time they get caught.
Xavi says that PSG remain favourites, Jules, going into the second leg. Do you agree?
I'm not having his mind games, like those Catalan mind games, they're not for me.
So divide this up, mate, percentage chances.
I don't know, Luis Enrique said this is going to be like a final. And, you know, we have to focus already, forget the things that, you know, forget tonight, basically. We'll have to improve on certain things. And please, Luis, get the right tactics this time. Maybe like a final. I still think he's quite nicely poised, really. And Barca have to be favourite. They are home at Montjuic and they have a one-goal advantage. So I would go 55-45 Barcelona.
55-45. Jan Agafjortov.
60-40 Barcelona. I think that they will take it at home, but I don't think this game is gone. I think that PSG, they have the quality. They showed as well times today that they have the quality in there. But of course, you can't defend like that, and Donnarumma can't be insecure when he's missing one and he don't come for the next one in the second half. So I still think it's too for Barcelona to lose.
Montjuic, of course, not the camp now, Luis. That might play a factor. How do you have this?
Of course, it's not a fact, but I agree with the guys that it's a final, but you don't start a final with a 1-0 result in your score. You have to start a final with a 0-0, so it's a totally different situation. Of course, it's a final for Paris Saint-Germain, but they need to go for the result. They need to go for the goal. And when you open up a little bit, you know what happened. I think the Barcelona right now is doing great in transition, is doing very good in counter-attack, and with those second balls with a fantastic keeper who can put you an assist from his own box. So I think that right now, even though that Xavi is trying to play those Catalan mind games, I think the Barcelona is a favourite to go through by a little bit more than 45-55. I will go for a 70-30 even so.
Of course you will, former Barcelona player.
Ah, the old Catalan mind game.
Ah, you know what it's like.
60-40 Barcelona, okay. Depending on Mr. Mbappe. If he turns up, might be a bit closer. If they keep him quiet like they did tonight, it's going to be Barca.
Ah, that's it, Jules. That's it. You didn't see the other game, so you get to go home now. We'll get to do whatever you want to do. Thank you very much. Jules, of course, will be back on the next edition of the Gab and Jules podcast. That drops on Thursday. Be sure to check it out. Meanwhile, after a week break, of course, for the Copa del Rey final, La Liga returns as well this weekend. It's all about Saturday, really. Atleti against Girona kicks things off early in the morning. Then Mallorca against Real Madrid. It's Cadiz against Barcelona. All those games live on ESPN+. We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match. With Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
In Spain, Atletico Madrid were taking on Borussia Dortmund. It would be a great start for the hosts. A couple of horrible mistakes from Dortmund at the back would see Atleti take a 2-0 lead. However, Dortmund would rally in the second half. Allaire with the goal to make it 2-1. Dortmund hit the crossbar, actually, a couple of times late on. But it will be Simeone's side who will take a 2-1 advantage to Germany for that second leg. Jan Arge Fjordsoff. Jan, I want to start with you. 2-1, not bad, actually, if from a Dortmund perspective, considering how things started.
Yeah, it's a good point how it started, because, first of all, we saw in this game it was the fourth in La Liga playing the fifth in the Bundesliga. Because imagine being Dortmund, you're going to Madrid, 70,000, Diego Simeone, intense pressing. So here is the idea. We start playing from the back in the third minute and we play to Madsen, who make an outside pass in somewhere that he doesn't see, 1-0. Then Hummels and Schlotterbeck, they're out of the German national team. Wow, we have an international stage to show us, hey, Nagelsmann, you can bring us to the European Championship. And they do a misunderstanding that you can't do on this level. So that is 2-0 down. But again, we saw Atletico Madrid from old would have killed that game off. Because Brandt came on, he did okay. There were some good situations there for them. And at the end, you have to say that Dortmund deserved to get that goal. As we saw, they could be even luckier to get a 2-2. That wouldn't be deserved. I think Atletico had the little nod ahead of them. But I think that from the moral of Dortmund, you never know, as Craig was saying, you never know which Dortmund team will turn up. There was a team turn up in first half. In the second half, they arrived at the airport in Madrid, was driven to the stadium, and then another team come out. That is the definition of Dortmund. But still, as I started, this is two of the weakest team in the quarterfinals, and one of them will go to the semis.
They most certainly will. Simeone would be frustrated, wouldn't he, Luis, giving up the two-goal lead like that?
Yeah, I think so, a little bit, because I think the way the game started, fantastic intensity, the atmosphere that the Metropolitani creates definitely pushed the players, and I think it surprised a little bit the players from Dortmund that they couldn't see anything happening apart from conceding that first goal. And we saw that with Lino, chance late in the second half. It could have been the third one for Atletico Madrid. But as you know, guys, with Atletico Madrid, there is always a drama. There is no easy games. There is no easy knockouts. So there is always something that they have to be fight for, and that's the way it is. Atletico Madrid, and the moment that they go ahead, they start sitting deep. I think with the changes of Borussia Dortmund, with the wide players, three wide players, and the hard work that they did in the first 45 minutes with that intensity, pressure everywhere on the pitch, so you make a lot of efforts, and I think the players got a little bit tired, and they went and ran out of legs in the last part of the game. And then, of course, Borussia Dortmund kind of dominate you, submit you, and in the end, they found that that goal that makes them believe that they can go through to the semifinals. But definitely, I think that Simeone must be a little bit disappointed with that result, because they had that 3-0 in their hands and they blew it away.
Mm. But no, it's like if you're Dortmund, you know, a couple of things are in your favour. It's not like the Inter game for Atleti, where the first game was away from home.
Yep.
They scraped something out of it. It was 1-0. It should have been 3 or 4 for Inter, but it wasn't, and that was down to them. And then they get this crowd behind them at home in the second leg, and it's a much different performance. For Dortmund, you know, they've travelled obviously to Madrid. They've had the possession. They've made a couple of mistakes, but they're still in there. And now they have this Atleti side coming to Germany, so it's the opposite way around for them, which I think works better for Dortmund. But also, it's not the Atleti that you might think. If you don't watch La Liga and you think, oh, I've seen Atleti a few times over the last few years, they really can do a 0-0. They can't.
No.
They can't. I mean, you look back at the recent results in domestic Spanish football, they can barely keep a clean sheet. It's been ages since they've kept a clean sheet. So they aren't as difficult to break down as they once were. They are a bit open and more attacking than they were, and that's why they've been involved in so many interesting games in the league this season. But it's not like, yeah, they're not going to be, it's not going to be a piece of cake to break them down, and they are going to try and defend a bit deeper. My God, they only had 30-odd% possession at home. But it isn't the old rugged Atleti that was a few years ago that, I mean, you used to bash away at them for 90 minutes, and you'd be lucky if you even got a sniff at Jan Oblak. Mm-hmm. That's not how they are anymore. So if I was Dortmund, I would be particularly pleased, not with the way I made mistakes tonight, but the fact we're in this game, and this is not an Atleti side that has found it easy to keep clean sheets, particularly away from home. And for those reasons, I think this is a 50-50 call, because Jan mentioned you don't know what Dortmund's turning up. Certainly since Christmas time, you really don't know what Atleti side is turning up.
Who's going through, Jan?
Well, again, Dortmund, there's going to be another Bundesliga round, as there will be a La Liga round. I think that there's going to be some decisions to be made now. I think Füllkrug didn't play that well. Brandt came on, so that depends on that as well. We're talking about Atletico can't play 0-0, but it's not like people going now to the yellow wall and think that they will come at them. You saw they lost against Stuttgart in the last round. With my half German heart, I will say that Dortmund go through.
Okay, that's I knew we were going there. And now, now Luis is going to take us on to a journey as to why Atleti are going through.
I honestly thought that in the beginning of this tie that Borussia Dortmund they were favorites because they were going to play the second leg at their own stadium. That I think that is massive difference in this kind of knockouts. Right now there is that balance because Real Madrid is going to go there with an advantage of one goal, and that gives you, it's true that, and I totally agree with Craig, they struggle so much to keep the clean sheet, to keep the goal without conceding, and that's something that Atletico Madrid is going to continue working on. But it's true that Borussia Dortmund, when they start bringing and committing players forward, they leave a lot of spaces. They leave so many spaces at the back, and that's something that Atletico Madrid can use with Correa, with Sam Molino, as we've seen today, that it was very, very good in the first 45 minutes on the wide area, also into the middle, with Nahuel on the right side. Griezmann, we saw today that he's back on his best, and if he's in the right shape and in the right state of mind with that confidence, I think that Atletico Madrid has a little bit of advantage.
So there, we go.
55-45 for Atletico Madrid.
That's where we were going. That's exactly
they
where
want to one. They want 2-1.
No, I know they did. I know. We've got the German heart, the Spanish heart, the cold heart, the black heart.
I would say no heart. There you go. What do you want to know?
Who's going through? You said 50-50.
Did you not hear my very
you fervent... You said 50-50.
My very passionate plea to the Dortmund's positivity and how they can really get at this Atleti defence.
Yeah, but that doesn't say who's going
well,
through.
Well, ask me who's going through.
Who's going through?
Atleti.
Well, thank you very much, Craig Burley. Much appreciated. just a reminder, of course, it is a big weekend in the Bundesliga because we could see new champions. Bayer Leverkusen taking on Werder Bremen. A victory will see them crowned as the winners of the Bundesliga. It could happen on Saturday, of course, if Bayern Munich don't get a result against Köln. All those games live on ESPN+.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Right then, in case you missed this yesterday, this is what happened. Rea looking to take a goal kick. He passes it across to Gabriel. Here it comes. There it is. Gabriel picks it up, places it down. He then goes to take the goal kick and passes it in to Rea. Thomas Tuchel, absolutely furious that no penalty was given. Here he is after the game.
For me and for all of us, he did a huge mistake in not giving a hand penalty. I know it's a crazy situation, but they put the ball down, he whistles, he gives the ball free, and the defender takes the ball in his hand. What makes us really angry is the explanation on the field. He told our players that it's a kid's mistake and he will not give a penalty like this in a quarterfinal. This is a horrible, horrible explanation because that means he's judging now handballs. It's a big kid's mistake, adult's mistake, or whatever. It's we feel angry because it's a huge decision against us.
Jan and Luis with us. Jan, isn't it great? Referee showing some common sense.
First of all, it was a Swede, our neighbour, so I will just state that, the referee. Well, first of all, we have a lot of young viewers, so they don't know probably what Muppet Show is, but for me, this was Muppet Show. I mean, how can you whistle... You let loose the ball, and then you take it up in the hand, and then you find some rule afterwards saying that there was not a penalty. I mean, just before I came on here, I've been in a studio where I discussed this with a very respected referee from Austria and Germany in the area. And I couldn't believe what he said. Because he actually said blah, 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 blah. So he just found some rule that this was right. It's not possible that this cannot be a penalty. It's not possible because if you have a thing that you blow the whistle, the game starts and you do something and then you say, well, I can't give it because it's a kid's stuff. Wow, if that happened when I had my son playing when he was 9, we would be furious. Not only Thomas Tuchel. This is just a joke. I mean, this is just a joke. And you know what the joke is? Because everybody can do a mistake. The joke is all the referees around the world, they're half of them doing that, coming out and say this was the right decision to do. I mean, that is, for me, scandalous.
Scandalous?
Oh, Jan, come on. I think there's so much desperation in Thomas Tuchel. Do you know the thing is I think Gabriel thought they were resetting the play. Now, if there was any pressure whatsoever from the Bayern Munich players on the edge of the box, and you saw in the clip, if you saw the clip, there was not. Gabriel was under no pressure. It's not like he panicked and put his hand on the ball because he saw pressure coming in. He did not. He thought he was taking the goal kick. They were resetting it. The controversy if he'd have given this would have been way more than it is. The only person I have met so far... And there might be two of them tonight, because I don't know what Luis is going to say. The only person I've met on the planet is Jan that thinks it should have been a penalty.
And Thomas Tuchel.
Craig, which people do you meet in your daily life? I mean, first of all, your dog didn't see it, so he can't be in there. And secondly, yeah. I mean, the explanation you had there is just ludicrous. What do you say there? Because he wasn't pressure, that is not a free kick. So this is your new rule then.
I'm not saying because there wasn't pressure, it doesn't matter. I'm saying there was no pressure on Gabriel, so why would he do that if he didn't think he was just resetting the play?
Yeah, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what Gabriel thought. I think Gabriel is the nicest man in the world, but when you whistle, you play the ball, you take the ball with the hand, it doesn't matter if Gabriel win the Nobel Peace Prize. He just made a handball. So this has nothing to do with the case. So that you
I
have
think
to
you're
get,
desperate
get some
to
better
get
proof.
German teams into the next round because they've had such a bad season.
And you
Bayern
are
Munich.
Desperate to going after Thomas Tuchel.
Thomas Tuchel's doing a good enough job of everybody going after him with his performances.
I can't believe
if you watched him at I'm not giving a penalty for that in any game.
If that's the best proof you're having, you better have a good lawyer.
What's my proof? I don't understand what my proof is. There was no pressure
Gabriel,
on him. Why would
Gabriel
he do that?
Had no pressure.
Why would he do it if he wasn't resetting the play?
Yeah, but so that is a new rule now in the rule book that every player can think, I thought I heard a whistle before. No, Craig, terrible.
You've definitely applied for a German passport.
But honestly, Craig, is that the first person in the world? First of all, haven't you read anything? Haven't you done any analysis on this? Haven't you seen any referee talk to that?
You know why I haven't done any analysis on this?
Say hello to your dog. Say hello to your dog.
We spoke to a couple of referees and they agreed it was the right decision. Jan saying that laws ask referees to take into account the spirit of the game. Get and what would here. Football expect?
Spirit of the game. Okay, please. Spirit of Jan's the game.
Jan, to be fair, Jan, you're a stickler for the rules. Get that. It's all about the laws of the game.
Even in football now, there are populism, and I guess we're going to talk more and more about populism later. Craig is just doing this to get some friends among the Arsenal fans.
I don't even have any friends.
Even the Arsenal friends. Now that's why you're going to get one.
Okay, right, Luis. Right, chat, Jan. Right, Luis, you get to be the deciding vote here.
No. Don't put that pressure on me. I understand the both sides. I have to tell you something. When you are on a game and there is a lot of things happening, there can be misunderstandings. And I think that's what it happened. The keeper puts the ball. The defender is not ready to do what is happening, grabs the ball and takes the ball from where he is. I think that's what... My opinion is that Tuchel was angry because of the explanation much more than really for what it was happening. Because the explanation was, no, because it's young. It doesn't matter if he's young, if he's mature, if he's old or whatever it is. I think it was a mistake from the defender, but it wasn't a mistake that you can punish. And I'm going to put you another example. And a example that happened to me, for example. Ball going, flying away. I'm not arriving. I raise my hand, grab the ball with my hands and let it go. Because the reaction was that one. Did I receive a yellow card because it was a handball and it was a proper handball because I catch it like a proper keeper? No, the referee understood that it was a quick reaction, something that it wasn't intentional to try to stop the ball or try to take advantage of it. It was a free kick, of course, but it was intentional. And I think the referee understood that. That's a mistake of the defender because he doesn't want to take advantage. He doesn't want to lose time. He just want to take the ball to his side, to start the ball from his side because the play started from him to the keeper. That's the way they do it. And I think that's what I understood. Remember, that is a decision that you have to take in one split of second. That's why probably the answer of, is because he was young, it was the wrong one.
Yeah. Go on, Luis. Go on, my son.
I must admit, it's much harder to disagree with Luis than Craig. I must admit that. but secondly, that spirit of the game is so nice of you to speak of that because we can use that. I so look forward to this weekend when you go, oh no, he thought that happened. Oh, sorry, we can't punish him because he thought otherwise. Fantastic. All the best with the analysis this weekend for all of us.
Hey, Jan, come on.
Who would have thought the most cynical person on the panel's Jan today?
Jan, what's it like living inside Thomas Tuchel's pocket?
How is it like to only talk football with three dogs?
Tell you what, when you look at who I work with, it's pretty good.
Oh, yeah. Do you know, Jan, what was interesting yesterday is that we all watched the game together and we came to the studio and we ran the Saka penalty and everyone agreed it wasn't a penalty and we kind of moved on with our lives. And it was only kind of when we finished, well, in fact, Robbo brought it up, that in the UK they were adamant that it was actually a penalty.
The Saka one?
Yes.
No, that was not a penalty.
Well, there we go.
And I say why, because the referee sees, yes, it's a bit movement of Neuer's right foot, yes, but Saka, unfortunately, is going big time for the penalty. Everybody who played football understand that.
Anybody, and it's only, it wasn't everybody in the UK, but Robbo was right to bring it up. And I mean, I'm not being funny, we can all make mistakes and we've all got opinions and, you know, we've just been over that with Jan there in a different scenario. But seriously, if you're getting paid to do this job and you think that's a penalty kick, you need to go away and have a look. And people that are employing you need to have a look. And I know it's an opinion and everybody has an opinion.
Yeah.
But if that was given as a penalty kick, then Thomas Tuchel would have something to complain about.
Right.
Because you want to see somebody trying to initiate contact. It was absolutely... Now, if the referee had given it at full speed, I wouldn't have had a problem with that and then gone to the VAR. But even at normal speed, he wasn't fooled with it. It was a hideous attempt to con the referee by throwing your leg into the goalkeeper. And that was a brilliant, brilliant decision at full speed by the referee.
What about Neuer's right leg, Luis? What do you think? Penalty?
No, it wasn't a penalty at all. You can see, I'm not worried about the right leg of the keeper. I'm worried about the right leg of Xhaka because he extended. When he was waiting for the contact and the contact wasn't arriving because Neuer just stopped just in front of him, he was looking for that leg to try to find something that touched him and let him go. Strange because you had the ball right there so you can get a punch and try to score a goal. But I think that... he decided to just let have a look. I mean, it's just incredible. In slow motion, it's even worse because you can see that just doesn't even want to go for the ball. Let the leg fly and hit the leg of Neuer. So for me, there was no penalty at all and fantastic goal from the referee.
Plenty more reaction to what we saw in that game, of course, over on our YouTube channel, always popular during a Champions League weeks. Be sure to go to ESPN FC and subscribe. L'Equipe gave Erling Haaland just 3 out of 10 in their player ratings after his performance at the Santiago Bernabeu, of course, in that 3-3 draw against Real Madrid. Oh, this must have been music to your ears as well, Jan.
Yeah, fantastic. Do you have any questions?
My question is, what do you make of the criticism that's been wielded at Haaland from some quarters over the last 24 hours?
The last 24 hours, I will take it over a week, I think, if we don't do this as a court. I think that Rüdiger played a great game again against Erling. He didn't get him involved in a great game for them. So there's actually two discussions here. We can have a lot of former football players discuss how Erling is able to keep the ball up front for Manchester City. That is a fair discussion, and a discussion that I guess Pep will have with him, of course. But all these ridiculous comments about Erling and what he's not doing and what he can do and as he's useless and all that kind of stuff, that is not serious at all. I mean, that is for me just, I'm not saying there's a jealousy or a way to bully or whatever. That is just stupid. And we're talking about analysis of a game. I don't think we should go on that easy analysis. Let's discuss, as some great strikers done the last 24 hours, can he do to be better? What can he do to improve? Why is Pep trying to get him in? I mean, as we listen now to some people, it seems that he scored 52 goals last season without touching the ball. So, I mean, that is just stupid thing, some of the discussions. But let's have a fair discussion on how he's keeping the ball and to be involved in the way Pep wants him to play.
Erling, no player in recent weeks has been involved in more clickbait analysis than Erling Haaland. Mm-hmm. People who just want to throw out snarky comments about his play and this and that. And look, every player... Is Erling Haaland playing at the absolute top of his game at the moment? No, he's not. He's not. And we talked about this yesterday on the show. And yeah, there are elements and facets of his game that he still is a relatively young player. He's still working on. And when defenders get really tight to him, he's finding that, particularly strong ones like Saliba and Gabriel and Rüdiger, sometimes he's finding that a bit difficult. But he's a constant, and I repeat what I said in yesterday's show, a lot of times at the moment, his lack of involvement in a game is a consequence of the way this Manchester City side play. Now, take the last few weeks or whatever it is out of the equation. Erling Haaland is the best out-and-out number nine on the planet. You might say Harry Kane's got more to his game, and you might say Lewandowski's more experienced, and all that sort of, and all these things could be true. But if the biggest of the big are looking for a striker to go forward and they can get one player, they're taking him. Mm. That's the bottom line. And he has been such a phenomenon from such a young, early age. And as Jan said, the stats will back that up. The goals will back that up. He's been such a phenomenon that he's been in such a high peg that a lot of people are just desperate. The same people that said... And this is true. Oh, I don't know if we'll fit in at Man City. Very same people. Yeah. Well, you know, will he fit into City's passing game, you know, this slick passing game? Well, he blew that to smithereens. Mm. Not always perfect, but he blew it to smithereens. And there's no doubt that he's suffering a little bit more than normal at the moment. But you know what? Nobody will really fuss about that if Man City have a successful season. But mark my words... And I don't know if Erling Haaland or his father or his representatives read or bother about it. But if City are unsuccessful in the Premier League, and they are unsuccessful in the Champions League and he does go a bit quiet, trust me, he's, and I'm not saying it's right, but he's going to bear the brunt of some of these people who can't see beyond the clickbait analysis and they're going to pile on him. And that's just the sort of reputation he's built for himself. And unfortunately, it comes with the territory. But if you started a team tomorrow and you had a striker to choose out of everybody, a number nine, you're taking him.
I think I preferred it when you and Jan were shouting at each other. Luis, what do you make of the criticism of Haaland?
No, again, of course, when a player is not in his best and when he comes from an amazing season, probably one of the best seasons of a striker in the history of football, scoring so many goals at such a young age, at any kind of competition, we're talking about FA Cup, Premier League, Champions League, it doesn't matter. Everybody's shocked now because in a couple of three games, he hasn't been involved with the ball into the games. But it's not only, Erling Haaland is not only, and we talk about this the same with Lewandowski for the past 2-3 months. It's not what they can provide with goals, it's what they can provide with their presence into the field. When he's on the field, he attracts players. Rudiger, Tchouameni, or Nacho, they are going to have to be just paying attention on him, and they cannot cover more options. The possibility of Foden to arrive into the outside of the box with a clear chance of shooting is because Rudiger and Tchouameni, they are covering Erling Haaland, and he's free because no one is closing down that goal. Guardiola scoring is exactly the same. Grealish, when he's arriving to the box, exactly the same. It's not being covered, Carvajal, by Rudiger, because they are in charge of Erling Haaland, because if he's free, he's going to have the chance of scoring a goal. So I understand that everyone is worried about them to not scoring goal, about Erling Haaland not scoring goals. But in the end, it's about what this team can manage, how they can win games, not making him the top scorer. So he's playing every single minute of every single game, and that means something for Pep Guardiola.
I'll give you an example, just briefly. I'll give you an example. I don't think it's this side of the pitch that's keeping Guardiola up at night. I think it's the other end.
Yeah.
I think Erling Haaland will get his goals. Kevin De Bruyne will be back. All these players, Phil Foden, Jack Grealish, Bernardo Silva, Julian Alvarez, they will create chances. It's what they do at the other end that will define their season. And we saw again last night against a very, very good Real Madrid side on the counter-attack that, like they have been in the Premier League this season, they've been a little fragile defensively. So trust me, all this Erling Haaland talk, it is not the manager's biggest problem.
Jan, away from Erling Haaland, as a man who watches a lot of football, it's just been a brilliant couple of days, isn't it?
It's fantastic. I mean the games yesterday, I was, of course, in a hotel room. I was flipping around. Why isn't UEFA putting it on different times? That is another, get in a protest, by the way, because it's too stress to see both games. But fantastic adverts for football. And a little point I was thinking, they say the away rules, because yesterday was 3-3 and 2-2, meaning that 10 goals doesn't count for anything somehow. But it's funny enough that I think that because of the away rules is gone, the home team can play more offensive. They can go for it, because if Real Madrid, maybe bad example because Real Madrid is so a good team, but teams that are playing good teams at home, they have to play more carefully. No, you just go for it. And I like that. I like that the coaches now who is successful are the coaches that is going for it. And yesterday, fantastic. Even Bayern coming back. I mean, after 3-2 in Heidenheim, they get a 2-2 at Emirates. What's going on with football right now?
It is absolutely brilliant. And, of course, it continues next week, those second legs. And it's a busy month for Manchester City. They're, of course, in FA Cup action as well, in games you can see live on ESPN+, as they can take on Chelsea at Wembley on the Saturday. And then Sunday, April 21st, it's Coventry against Manchester United. Those games exclusively on ESPN+. Jan and Luis will be both. Stevie scratching his head. What a surprise. Jan and Luis both will be back then for extra time. That is, as always, available over on our YouTube channel.
Wednesday night on ABC, Brittany Griner, for the first time since being released from a Russian prison, shares her story.
You've been told to go through your bag, and you felt...
Felt the cartridge.
What were you thinking at that moment when you felt that?
My life is over right here.
Her sentence.
Just been told you're going to be 9 years in one of the worst prisons in Russia.
I was just so scared for everything, because there's just so much unknown.
Brittany Griner, Robin Roberts, Prisoner in Russia. Wednesday night at 10, 9 central on ABC.
Luis and Jan are back for extra time. Be sure to stay tuned as that, I believe, is next. Oh. Welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time. Luis is here, Jan as well, after Jan, shouting at Craig.
Jan's, oh, and I get... I take it very personally.
Well, yes, I know, about the...
You're working for Austrian TV, Jan.
I'm working for the Austrian government as a secret agent tonight.
Oh, wow.
They're not looking for a grumpy Scotsman, are they?
Yes, go on, go to Austria. That'd be good. What's that behind you, Jan? It's not a vacuum cleaner, is it?
No, I am in the studio. I have no idea. I wanted to sit the other way around because there are TVs everywhere. There? But now right. I'm looking like I'm sitting in some closet. Yeah,
it does. Yeah, it does look like you sat there.
How come I say dress up, that's a very loose term.
Right.
How come he puts a shirt on for Austrian TV, but for FC...
Well, he wants to make an effort, doesn't he? There we are.
Yeah.
Xavi has beaten... Luis, this is for you. Xavi has beaten PSG in Paris with a bunch of teenagers. Do you think Barcelona should ask him to stay?
Probably we're going to talk about this for the rest of the season, but I think that there might be some talks into the club to wait and see what happened, to wait and see if Xavi is willing or is feeling, because the problem was that Xavi didn't feel comfortable or was with enough strength to continue in the coming years. And let's don't forget that Xavi had still a new year of contract, but he decided to leave at the end of the season. So I'm sure that if Barcelona continue playing in this style with this good idea and with good results, we probably are going to see some chats between him and the board to see if he can stay for another year.
I will say the same as my dad would be saying. What is all this thing about feeling? I don't feel that I want to be the Barcelona manager. He's the perfect Barcelona manager. Luis knows him. I don't know him. I see it from outside. But I will bet that Xavi will stay for another season at Barcelona.
But he didn't like it, Jan. Everyone was being mean to him. It wasn't very fun. You know, maybe no, just because he said he's going, people have taken the pressure off.
Yeah, we're still with Craig, aren't we? I mean, we can all do that. That is no problem.
Like it's a bit like the show, isn't it?
What do you mean?
Well, it's not fun because, you know...
Because Jan comes on and bullies you.
Yeah.
That's how you feel about it.
I mean...
Because you talk about the spirit of the game.
I mean, I'm all for the spirit of the game.
I know. And he's claiming your dogs don't have any knowledge of
freaking
football.
Guy shouting at me from Austria.
I know. Xavi is beating PSG. Oh, wait, we've done that one. Year after year, Donnarumma is shaky in goal. Why doesn't PSG utilise their Champions League winner Navas in goal instead? How many was he at fault at today, would you say, Jan, out of the three?
Well, I was just saying the general today. He was weak because there was a big chance in the first half with the Lewandowski thing that he comes out. So he didn't give me the sign that he's a secure goalkeeper. And he's a good goalkeeper. He looks like a goalkeeper. He got a presence of a goalkeeper. But I still think that he should be in goal there. But sometimes when we put Donnarumma up as the best goalkeeper in the world in some nominations, especially in the Italians one, of course. But I don't think that he gives me today in a quarterfinal of the Champions League the security that this PSG team needed. I think that if they had him today on his top, they would have at least get a draw today. I won't say how many of the three he should have taken.
No, why not? Why won't you say?
Well, he
forgot.
No, but I. Well, which one will you say that he can take? Can he take?
I think the third one, definitely. He's got to do better. He's got to dominate.
But the reason I said that, because he didn't come out for Christensen, because what happened in the first half, that's why I tried to do the analyse on that. The Rafinha one he can't take. No goalkeeper will do that. Pedri passed Rafinha. He wouldn't take that, and so on. The one he comes out, that he comes out and avoided to go to Lewandowski, should he take that or that? I'm not sure of that. have to be honest, you know, Dan.
Oh, no, he'd be the honest. Little dull, but that's all right.
The Christensen one, when you're a goalkeeper and you're a very commanding figure, as he is, I mean, we're not talking about David Raya at Arsenal here, who's one of the smaller goalkeepers.
You've got to have a go at David Raya, don't you? For
well,
reason.
I can fit him out.
crowbar that in.
I could crowbar
Let's have a go at Manchester United now. Crowbar
my United. I could crowbar my Nana's not having a great season. But I mean, when you're scoring a goal, when you're heading it in from, I'm going to say 5 yards, but it was probably closer to four.
So say four.
I was trying to give him a bit of wiggle room.
Okay.
Then I think you're looking at your goalkeeper there, who's not. It's definitely a consequence of his poor one in the first half. But he's got to put that like Xhaka does. Puts it behind them.
Yes, indeed. And better move on. Luis, do you feel that Dembele's performance tonight proves you right? Of course, you'd had a lot of arguments with Ali over the years about Dembele.
No, at all. I don't think that he's been the best performance of Dembele, but I think that he's still one of the most exciting players in the world. I know that some people wouldn't believe me when I said that he should have stayed at Barcelona. When he went to Paris Saint-Germain, he had ups and downs. At the same time in Barcelona, the consistency is the problem with Dembele. But once again, he's going to win the Liga right there. He's on the quarterfinal of the Champions League, and he's one of the most important players for Paris Saint-Germain. For me, again, there is no many players on these days who can provide what he brings on the table: the speed, the ability, and the 2 feet capacity of finishing, and a little bit more things that these kind of players can bring. And well, I'm not saying that I was right, but I still think that he's one of the most exciting players and one of the best players in the world.
Very important to state that you're right in this business.
Well, yes, okay. Jan, this is something you were discussing. I don't think it's that big a deal, but just go into a little more detail why. Do you think the lack of away goals rule made these ties more interesting?
I do, because...
Don't you think it's just the fact that you've got great teams playing attacking football? I don't think psychologically you're thinking about away goals.
Yes, yeah, that's fair. I was thinking of a lot of that yesterday alone in my hotel room. So I did an analyse with someone who I could agree with. But yes, no, but I was thinking of that. Maybe it's also a trend that teams are going for it. So I'm not saying that is only down to the away rule. That's for sure. And it's funny when we discussed it on the show today that there was 10 goals yesterday, 6-7 of them. Best goals you see during a season. Fantastic goals. But they count for nothing now in we're going to next week in the Champions League in the next game. Having said that, I think that will add to the way, the attitude of the coaches. They can go for it at home, because if an Arsenal team still got to be a bit more careful against Bayern Munich, because if they do that 1-0, they have to, that 2-1, it's not that good. And you have to have all these speculations. No, you just have to go for it. And you saw that yesterday. And you also saw that today. Great games going around at the moment. Yes, it could be a trend, but at least I would say that the away rule is a part of that, one of the factors that makes that strengthen that trend.
I just like, before you go to another question,
right?
I would just like to clear one thing up.
Oh, what have you done?
Oh, I've done plenty of things.
Right, okay.
I'm not bringing it
what
up.
What would you like to address?
Unlike Jan, I have never ever lay down in a hotel bedroom and thought about away goals.
Right. That's where you two are different.
That's where we differ. The first thing I'm thinking about is, what time does the bar close?
Right, yeah.
What's the room service like?
Yes, yep.
Away goals is down the list
of your power rankings.
Imagine lying there. Like, just get in your hotel room and go, that away goal rules is spoiling it for me.
Yeah, out of interest, as a striker, of the 18 goals we've seen over the last 2 days, which was the best one?
Oh, which one will be the best one? This Real Madrid goal. Was it Valverde?
Valverde.
The way they played, the way he took his technique. But I will also say, as a great candidate, Rafinha today. Pedri passes once. Good to see him back. He's doing that. But the technique Rafinha got to do, Luis described, is fantastic in the show. But the way you have to go into that ball, that kind of tennis, you have to just get it in there. fantastic goal from Rafinha. I think I would take that as number one.
What about Haaland's goal? Oh, no. Sorry.
You think when Luis Garcia travels the world as he does, you think when he's in Bogota and he's in, where does he go, Hong Kong and all these places,
yes.
You think when he goes to the immigration, they say, oh, Mr. Garcia, I really enjoyed you at Liverpool. You're looking a bit stressed today. What is it? You think he goes, oh, away goals.
I don't think Luis ever looks stressed, doesn't he? Look at him.
Away goals.
He's all right.
I'm just worried about the away goals. People seem to be getting hung up in this.
Yeah, I don't think it's a big deal. I don't understand. I don't know. It's just the way football is.
Many things are a big deal.
I'm in Austria, so I have to tell you, Craig, I had a room service of a schnitzel, so just have to relax you as well. Not only away goals.
And who, what's a schnitzel? Who brought it to your room? Thomas Tuchel. Oh,
there we go, Thomas. Have you got Bayern going through on. Then, Jan? Who have you got going through in the Arsenal Bayern game, giving your Tuchel love?
Tuchel will be Bayern going through. Now, I think that is very, very open game. I'm very dull at that one. That is very, very open.
Right.
But I will say, if you are going to bet, I will say Manchester City will go through. I think that Dortmund will go through. And I do think that Bayern will go through with my German heart.
Yeah, we've heard of a lot from your German heart.
I hope Manuel Neuer rolls it out to Matthias De Ligt. And he puts his hand on it and he gets a penalty against him.
I know.
Can you imagine?
I mean, I can't say anything. That's it. He got his way.
Fantastic.
Luis, how impressed have you been by Kubarsi and how hard is it to slot into centre-back for such a huge club at this age? 17.
Very, very impressive and very surprised and very happy because we've been talking about a better Barcelona for quite a long time now. Been 2-3 months and something has to say about this kid arriving to that linebacker. A lot of people say, oh my God, we are talking too much about this young kid. He has done just enough to talk a little bit about him because he played only 5-6 games. But listen, the way he manages the tempo of the game, the way he understands the situation, the way he covers Araujo, the way he plays the ball. I mean, today's first goal of Barcelona is because he brings a fantastic ball into the middle to Lewandowski, and that's something that we haven't seen for quite a long time without the likes of Rafa Márquez or Piqué, players who can bring the ball from the back with a little bit of clarity. And the thing that impressed me the most is that awareness around the football intelligence. He's always in the right positions. He's not lying down when he's facing today, facing against Dembele a couple of times. He was holding up, looking at the ball, not looking to the movements of the player. And that's something that is very difficult to have at such a short age. So I'm really, really impressive. And definitely I'm looking forward to see what he's bringing on the table. And he's next to a fantastic player who's going to help him grow with Araujo and Koundé.
How embarrassed should Howard Webb be while watching Champions League games and seeing how efficient VAR is while in the Premier League, continuous long pauses in play whilst checks happen?
He should just be embarrassed about... He should just be a bit embarrassed about the way they've handled...
Officials have been right, haven't they, the last couple of days? I don't think... And they seem to have let the games flow.
The Champions League?
Yeah.
Yeah. In the main, I mean...
Like, Jan's got his issue, obviously, with the...
Well, as Jan said, they should put it... For everybody to watch it better, they should be...
Staggered.
The game should be staggered, but they're not. However, I will say, and I said it yesterday, the referee, I felt... I think he was a French referee in the... and not a particularly old one in the Real Madrid-Man City game yesterday, I thought was absolutely terrific.
Yeah.
There was a few challenges that players would have been... that other refs would have been over-officiating and over-fussy about. Oh, there's a little... No. If it wasn't... A clear trip or a clear foul.
Well, when he gave the yellow card so early on, you thought, you know, he's setting the standard here.
Yeah, but it was a yellow card challenge. The rest of them were sort of, you know, players coming together and, you know, whether it be a shoulder charge or just two players, one out muscling the other. And where players were looking at free kicks and they would maybe get it in their own leg, he was like, no, we're just going to carry on. And what happened was, the game was so energetic because of it.
Yeah.
And it was such a good spectacle. So, yeah. Look, I don't think there's any doubt. There's certainly, and maybe this applies to other leagues like the Bundesliga and Serie A and La Liga. I don't know. But there is, for me, having played in the Premier League, okay, it was a different era, but I always felt there was a good stack of quality referees. For me now, there's one or two, and then there's a big drop off.
Yeah.
You know, I think Michael Oliver, Anthony Taylor, maybe one or two others, and then there is a big drop-off in the officiating.
Luis, what's the reaction in Spain when they see a referee officiating in this manner? Because we know in Spain maybe they're a little stricter on fouls and things, to see the game given this kind of opportunity to run in this open manner. How do they react?
Not good, to be honest. Everybody is complaining about the referees, the VAR, and how they handle the situation. Some days because it's too long, some days because they don't understand the consistency on the game, because they go and show yellow cards and also showing red cards and the other options. No, so at the end, it's all about having a point of view where VAR is no welcome. And that's something that I understand. It's something that we need to understand. And people still not understanding that VAR is not here to clean everything and to clear everything. It's here to help, and it's going to take a longer to definitely use it in the right way. But I still think that the VAR can be used very useful in the coming years. Still a lot of work to do yet, though.
But Luis, just watching yesterday's game and watching that game between Real Madrid and Manchester City, where the fouls weren't called all the time, watching that, did you enjoy watching those sort of games?
To be honest, I don't like it. I prefer... It's an example where... And we've been talking about the offside situation. When there's an offside and they allow it to keep it going because the VAR can get involved later on when it's a very clear offside. I just don't like it. I prefer that the referee referees the game and we forget about that there is someone behind me watching it. So here it's all talks about not being happy with it. But in my opinion, I think that we need to understand, and I don't like to talk a lot about referees because I have been doing it with just some kids, and I've been trying to referee with kids, and it's very, very difficult. So I understand what it is to be in a situation like that one with so much pressure.
I think we have to do it in the right order here. I mean, we can discuss everything, but I think that the general football debate, I'm with Craig, we have to start with the referees being good referees. What we've seen the last 2 days, in my opinion, in nearly all the games, is that we have referees who clearly manage the game. They are leaders there. They let it flow, that I like. Yes, there are different things that I don't like, but we have to take it in the right orders. We have to have rules that people understand, not just these analyses of everything, that one referee can say one thing and the other one say another a different thing. And then we have to have referee who are leaders there. And thirdly, then VAR is a consequence of that. So I don't think VAR will stay on, but we have to improve it, of course. But we have to improve the rules and we have to improve the performance of the referees, because somehow the good referees, they can make good games also with VAR. That is quite interesting and maybe a paradox.
I'd like to apologise for the rude interruption. What were you watching? What were you doing on your phone? Right, that's it. I don't know what he was doing. Yeah.
This is going wrong.
Clearly. Luis, percentage chance a Spanish club makes the Champions League final. So have we got Barcelona look likely out of the two to go through against PSG? Real Madrid not so much against City. Atleti maybe against Dortmund.
You don't know where to go tonight or what?
What do you mean?
You're dragging this.
I'm not dragging it on. I'm answering the questions.
Sorry.
Go on, Luis.
Go ahead, Craig. You can check your phone.
No.
Okay. I think that knowing that Atletico Madrid and Barcelona are in the same bracket and both of them, they are in good position, but if they arrive both to the same final, so there is one in the Champions League final. So I will say that we got 60% chances to at least have one into the final.
That is it then. That brings us to the end of Extra Time. Thank you very much today, guys.
You never know when there's not enough's enough. You've always got to push it.
Which I can push it. Anyway, I've got 2 days off now. You off now?
Oh, I'm off till Friday.
Oh, are you on Friday?
Yeah, big day Friday.
What's happening Friday?
No idea.
ESPN FC then back tomorrow. Some big games in the Europa League.
When
Wednesday night on ABC. Brittany Griner, for the first time since being released from a Russian prison, shares her story.
You've been told to go through your bag, and you felt...
Felt cartridge.
What were you thinking at that moment when you felt that?
My life is over right here.
Her sentence.
Just been told you're going to be 9 years in one of the worst prisons in Russia.
I was just so scared for everything, because there's just so much unknown.
Brittany Griner, Robin Roberts, Prisoner in Russia. Wednesday night at 10, 9 central on ABC.